We're continuing our thoughts in the book of Romans, and we're in chapter 15. And I want us to look at verses 13 through 16 this morning, and I'd like to read these verses for us. Romans 15, 13 beginning. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that ye may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. And I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye also are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, able to admonish one another. Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, as putting you in mind, because of the grace that is given to me of God, that I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Ghost. Let me just say this, that not all the verses in the book of Romans are easy to understand. Okay? And I've seen that testimony and a commentary or two. But you know, these verses that I just got through read sort of remind me of getting your car, the oil changed on your car in some of these fast places, you know, Jiffy Lubes. And what they do is that they guarantee you that if your car runs out of oil, burns a little too much oil during the time of the next change, well, you can drive in and they'll top it off for you. Or if your blue juice gets too low, you can go by and they'll fill up your blue juice bottle. That has to do with, for those that may be listening to this, what blue juice is has to do with the windshield wiper, you know, cleaning the windshield. And also the brake fluids, the other fluids in the car. Well, this morning, I'm just going to top off some of the spiritual fluids that may be leaking in your life this morning. And it has to do with the hope. We all, at least in our fellowship, appreciate the hope of a Christian, the hope of a child of God, is to share in His coming kingdom and glory. It's Christ in me, the hope of glory. And these are verses that we all know very well, but you know, sometimes we don't hear of it often enough. And so this morning I want to share with you the fact that God wants, that God is the God of all hope, and that's what He is about. He is here to encourage us in our hope, because He knows that if we have a strong hope in the inheritance that's coming, that our life is going to be more intense for Him. It's going to be fervent in spirit. And we're going to be motivated and stimulated to please Him and to live for Him and do the things required to qualify for our well done, now good and faithful servant. And it requires a faithful walk. A lot of people want you to believe that when you are saved, when you're born from above, you don't have a hope anymore. It's a sure thing. But the Bible does not teach hope as a sure thing. And I'm not going to try to convince us of that here, because we know that hope is not a sure thing. There's Scripture that supports that. So, this passage of Scripture that the verse 13 that we just read, that the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. Associated with the hope of glory is joy. What joy? The joy of anticipating standing in His presence and hearing a well done, and then what? And entering to the joy of the Lord. And God wants us to have joy. And He wants us to have peace as well. And associated with the hope and joy and peace is believing in the present tense. Being faithful. Believing in the present tense, of course, this is an infinitive, to believing. The participle of the verb believe is, I associate with faith. And so, for us to be filled with hope and joy and peace, we must be pleasing God by faith, living by faith. So we find the word believing in the present tense. And He doesn't want us just to have hope. He wants us to abound in hope. He wants us to be filled up. In fact, that's the reason why I was associating filling up the fluids, you know, a little oil, a little, you know, keeping the oil up makes the engine run better. And having blue juice helps you see a little better in driving. And your brake fluid is up, makes you where you can stop a little quicker. And so God wants to fill up our levels of hope and joy and peace by believing. Believing, we can associate with the fact that when the oil change people, the Jiffy Lube, gave you a contract that they would fill up your fluids every time you came by, you know what? When you pulled in, you showed him the contract, and I said, I need air in my tires. I need you to check, you know, all the fluids. You know what? They don't argue. They hop to it. They work right on it. And that's what God wants to happen in our life. We need to be continually believing that He will help us with joy and with peace, and that He'll keep the oil of hope packed and full. And that's what this thing, it says fill to the top, filling to the top, but it also has to do with being abounding, is being pressed down too. Being pressed down. And this is all being done by the power of the Holy Ghost. And I associate this power of the Holy Spirit as the working of the Holy Spirit. The power of the Holy Spirit you can associate with electricity in the house. But you know what? I'm not aware of the electricity in the house. It's power. How can I relate to the power of electricity in my house until I what? Turn on the switch. Well, just turning on the switch doesn't tell me anything. It's the switch that turns on the light. Then I can see the evidence of the ministry of the Holy Spirit when it comes to the hope and joy and believing and accomplishing what God wants to accomplish in our lives as we are abounding in hope. So what is the ministry of the Holy Spirit? What is the evidence of the Holy Spirit? Well, when we come together for fellowship, we can see the evidence of the Holy Spirit's ministry when we sit under the teaching word. We enjoyed the fellowship that we had this morning. And it's evident that the Holy Spirit was active. We just didn't sit around the table and believe that the power of the Holy Ghost was there. We saw His evidence as we rejoiced, and it was affirmed to us through the study of the Scriptures. We saw people responding positively to the Word. Okay? And so when I think about John 16:13, howbeit when He, the Spirit of truth, has come, He will guide you in all truth. For He will not speak of Himself, but whatsoever He shall hear, that shall He speak. And He will show you what? Things to come. That's what the hope has to do with. Things that are coming. And that's his job. Conviction of sin, righteousness, and other things. But He's also our teacher. And He teaches us things to come. And He just doesn't teach us anything. He's listening to whom? He's listening to the Father and the Son. And they tell him, he says, now, He's ready for this. And the Holy Spirit takes all of the verses of Scripture that this man's been in, or that person, or you or I have been in, and He begins to put them together for us so we can understand it, so that we can be encouraged and strengthened by it. So the Holy Spirit is the one who is guiding us in all the truth, and He is showing us things to come. Why? Because the Father wants Him to do it. Isn't that something? The Father and the Lord want us to get certain things. And He tells the Holy Spirit to get it to us. And He does. Now, in having a regard for the hope, as in we find in a verse that we've already touched on, and that is in Romans 15:4. Now, whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the Scriptures might have hope. And the word have here is a present active of echo, which can also be translated to esteem or regard. The Old Testament Scriptures teach us in such a way that we have a regard for the hope. When the children of Israel came out of Egypt, they weren't going to Iran, or they weren't going to China. They weren't going to the Far East. They were going to the Near East. In other words, they were going to a land flowing with milk and honey. And that was a hope. That's a hope that they had. And you know what? They missed it. Most of them did. Two of the older ones did make it, Joshua and Caleb. There was those that were 19 and below that actually went in. So the Old Testament Scriptures provide us with an esteem of the hope. And if we have esteem for the hope, then we're going to have that hope. We can apply it that way as well. Now, in Romans 12:12, we're rejoicing in that hope. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer. So this verse of Scripture is telling us that we can be rejoicing, or should be rejoicing in the hope, and it's going to cause us to be diligent in times of discouragement. Because you know what? While we're pursuing the hope, there's going to be times and seasons of discouragement, trouble, difficulty. And the 1 Thessalonians tells us that, and 2 Thessalonians tells us that these are just evidences that the Lord is preparing us to rule and reign with Him. He doesn't want kings and lords that are wimps. He wants a king and a lord that has had some experience with difficulty. Because you know what? Kings and lords have to deal with difficulties. Solving problems, difficult problems. And so when we're ruling and reigning over the earth, all the problems are not going to go away just because of the millennium. There's going to be problems in the millennium too. Now, now, it takes honey to know the hope as well. Honey is that ingredient that enlightens the eyes. And that comes from God. That's all there is to it. It's in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 17 through 19. We see that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the epignosis, exact knowledge, the deeper knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of His calling, and what the riches of the glory of His inheritance is in the saints. Did you know the hope is not surface material? It's deep stuff. You need epignosis knowledge and wisdom. There's got to be revealed to a child of God. And that's the reason why the Holy Spirit is the one who is doing that work. He's revealing it to those who are ready for it and those who have been called because the hope has to do with the calling. In Colossians 1:9, a parallel passage of Scripture to this passage in Ephesians 1, Paul says, "For this cause we also, since the day we heard it," that is, their love and faith, "do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the exact knowledge, the deeper knowledge of His will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in that deeper knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to His glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness." So it's important for the ministry of the Holy Spirit to help us to understand the mysteries of the hope. In 1 Thessalonians 2:12, we are told what the calling is, and it demands a worthy walk, that ye walk worthy of God who hath called you unto His kingdom and glory. The calling and hope has to do with His kingdom and the glory associated with His kingdom. Colossians 1:5 talks about the hope being a heavenly hope. "For the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, whereof ye heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel." This word gospel here is not a reference to the common salvation, but the so great salvation, the gospel of Christ. And because the gospel of Christ, the gospel of the kingdom, is associated with the hope that we have. And this hope is dependent or our standing approved in His presence is dependent upon our faithfulness in continuing in the faith grounded and settled, as brought out in Colossians 1:23. It says, "If you continue in the faith grounded and settled and not moved away from the hope of the gospel." You know what? You might have a leak in your oil tank or in your pan in your car. It might leak. And you know what? If you don't fill up the oil, eventually it's all going to run out. And I tell you what, there's nothing worse than having an engine seize up on you. When I was a young man, I had a James motorcycle. I'm sure that not any of you have ever heard of that thing or not, but it was a motorcycle that you mix oil and gas together and you put it in the tank, and well, I was going to ride it out to the Navy base since I was going to go out for the drill, so I said, "Well, I'll just ride this out to the Navy base." Well, on the way out there, man, that thing heated up and it seized up and it didn't move another millimeter. It was shot. So, the thing about it is that it can leak, and it requires being to continue in the faith, continue pleasing God, being grounded, being settled, knowing what to do and doing it, and not being moved away from the gospel, being filled with the hope. Now, I was telling you that the hope is a mystery, and we find that in Colossians 1:27. "To whom God would make known what is the riches of the glory of this mystery among the Gentiles, which is Christ in you, the hope of the glory." The hope of glory is a mystery, and a mystery has to be revealed. The hope of glory is a secret. That's what a mystery is all about. Who wants to read a book or a mystery and know who done it on the first page? That's no fun. You know, a mystery is a revealing of who done it or what is in store for those that who get the secret, you know, are told the secret. And so God is making known this mystery to the Gentiles. At one time, He was making it known to whom? He was making it known to the nation of Israel, and only to the nation of Israel. But they wouldn't bring forth the fruits thereof, so therefore God says, I'm taking it away from you, and I'm going to reveal it to Gentiles, and that's what he is doing. We are to persevere in hope. Paul says in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, remembering without ceasing your work of faith, your labor of love, and perseverance of hope. Perseverance. You gotta stay with it. You cannot let it go. You can't depart from it. You gotta keep checking the leaks. Make sure that it's, you gotta get the dipstick out and check to see what the level is and do it regularly. And so we need to persevere in hope. But notice it's faith and love. Paul says, you remember without ceasing your work of faith and labor of love. Because he was praying for them. And you know what? If you just have faith and no love, faith won't work. Faith cannot work apart from love. That's why you got to love the brethren. You have faith to move mountains and no love? Ding-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling-a-ling. Crashing the cymbals. Nothing. Paul says, I heard of two things, faith and love, and your diligence and hope. They didn't let down. And hope is something that we're waiting for. Romans 8:25 tells us, if we hope for what we see not, then we do with patience wait for it. In other words, we don't see what we're hoping for, but we believe it's true. That's faith. We believe what the hope will provide for us is there. When I go to the throne of grace in the morning in prayer, I can't hear it, I can't smell it, can't see it, can't touch it. But you know what? I'm there, and I know who else is there. My high priest. That pleases God for us to exercise our life of prayer and with Him at the throne of grace. We're to hold fast hope, the rejoicing of hope in Hebrews chapter 3 verse 6. But Christ as a son over His own house, whose house are we? If we hold fast the confidence and the rejoicing of the hope firm unto the end, we don't have to do that. And if we don't hold fast the confidence and rejoicing of hope firm unto the end, we may be asked to leave the house. We belong to His house if we hold fast the hope. If we don't, He may excuse us. Hebrews 10, verses 21 through 23. Having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with true hearts. True heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession. This is actually a confession, our testimony of our hope without wavering. In other words, you're not going to change it. You know, if you have a testimony of a hope, you know what that's going to create? It's going to create questions. We need to be ready to give an answer for what? The hope that's within us. And if we are confessing that hope, then people are going to ask us, oh, I thought everybody got that when they got saved. You see? Then you have an opportunity to share the hope that you have and that we have of sharing in His glory and His coming kingdom. And, you know, we do have a high priest over the house of God, and we're to draw near unto Him in full assurance of faith, because it's there that we receive mercy and grace, the throne of grace. And what is Jesus Christ, our high priest, doing? Well, He has become our high priest. Christ is in Hebrews 9:11, but Christ becoming high priest of what? Good things to come. What good things? The good things that we're hoping for. We're hoping for a well done. We're hoping to rule and reign with Christ. And it's because of His resurrection from the dead that hope is alive today. Without His resurrection from the dead, there would be no living hope in 1 Peter 1, verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to the abundant mercy, His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto a lively or living hope. How? By the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead. What's that living hope all about? An inheritance. Incorruptible, undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you. Most people stop right there. Oh, my inheritance is incorruptible, undefiled, it fadeth not away, and it's going to be there when I get there. Reserved in heaven. Well, they don't read verse 5. Who are kept by the power of God through faith. If you make shipwreck of the faith, you've canceled the power of God in your life. When you make shipwreck of the faith, you will not enjoy the so great salvation that is referred to in this verse, which was ready to be revealed in the last times. Let me say this. From Adam and Eve through history, men have known and have heard how to be saved. But this salvation that is revealed in the last times is the so great salvation of ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom. Now, Titus tells us that we're heirs according to the hope. You got a little hope? You're going to have a little inheritance. That's what it amounts to. Titus 3:7, being justified by His grace, that is, you got to be not chargeable. If you're chargeable, you don't have an inheritance. But if you're unchargeable by His grace, we should be made heirs according to the hope of eternal life or age-lasting life. What am I hoping for? I'm hoping for a life in the coming kingdom age. It's not having anything to do with the common salvation. It has to do with the so great salvation. And if I have an intense hope for ruling and reigning with Christ in His coming kingdom, I'm going to have a greater inheritance in His kingdom. In fact, in Titus 1, verses 1 and 2, Paul says that he is a servant of God, an apostle of Jesus Christ, according to the faith of God's elect, and the deeper knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness, or holiness, or piety, leading to hope of age-lasting life. If you're not living a holy, godly life, you're not going to have a hope of glory, a hope of honor. It's those that have a deeper knowledge of the truth, which is after godliness or holiness, piety, that leads to hope of age-lasting life, which God that cannot lie promised before the ages began or times. So hope is of life for the coming age, and we have hope, a good hope through grace, according to 2 Thessalonians 2:16. Now our Lord Jesus Christ Himself and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us an age-lasting exhortation. I think that's very significant. He is exhorting us in this age. When we're in the millennial reign of Christ, there's no need to exhort you to be faithful. It's over. Your position in the coming kingdom has already been established. There is no hope of glory anymore. You're either going to have the glory of a king or a lord, or you're not, if you've been called unto that kingdom and glory. And in this age-lasting exhortation and a good hope through grace, this word good is also translated a good things. Good things, hope. In other words, I'm associating it with the good things that are coming for whom the Lord Jesus Christ, our High Priest, is interceding on our behalf concerning good things to come. Now, the grace of God is what we need, and to have the grace we need faith, because it's the grace of God that helps us to stand and rejoice in the hope of glory. This is we find in Romans 5:2. By whom also we have access by faith unto this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. It takes grace, it takes strength to stand. If you don't have any strength, it's very difficult to stand. And if we're not standing, you know what? We're very vulnerable. When a thief or a robber wants to take advantage of you, they want to what? Knock you down on the ground so that they can kick you and injure you and take your possessions. God wants us to stand. The devil wants us to be down. The devil wants us to not stand. He wants to make sure we don't wear our sandals of faith. Preparation of the gospel of hope. You know, if we're always worrying about our aching feet, our sore feet, we're going to be sitting down rubbing them. But anyway, the Lord wants us standing. And it takes grace to stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, Paul is confident in his admonishing us. In Romans chapter 15, verse 14, he says, I myself also am persuaded of you, my brethren, that ye are full of goodness, filled with all knowledge, and you're able to admonish one another. That's a challenge. Paul says, I'm confident that you have what it takes to be filled with knowledge, that you're able to admonish one another, encourage one another. And if we're not, we need to be that way. We need to be able to admonish one another when it comes to the hope of glory. And Paul was persuaded of the brethren, those that are seeking to do the will of the Father, that they might enter the kingdom. And in fact, Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:2 that the things which thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. Teach faithful men that they might teach faithful men. And that's one of the things that I have tried over the years is to teach faithful men how to teach other faithful men. Paul continues his confident ministry in verses 15 and 16 of Romans 15. Paul says, Nevertheless, brethren, I have written the more boldly unto you in some sort, putting you in mind, present tense, because of the grace of God given to me. You know, Paul had authority. He had grace. He was bold. And he says, I've written to you with greater confidence. Why? Because I want to put you in mind of some certain things. That I should be the minister of Jesus Christ to the Gentiles, ministering the gospel of God, that the offering up of the Gentiles might be acceptable, being sanctified by the Holy Spirit. The word offering up is actually a sacrifice. You know what? When you embrace the hope of glory, when you embrace that truth, you're going to feel like you are you're being sacrificed by the devil. But you know what? We should be living sacrifices, holy, acceptable unto the Lord. And Paul is saying, I want to minister to the Gentiles the gospel of God, that their offering up will be acceptable to the Lord. And Paul's ministry to the Gentiles, there are many places that we could look, but I'm going to close with 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 7. Whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ, and I lie not. I'm not joking and I'm not kidding about this. I'm a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and in truth. Paul wanted to see those to whom he ministered to stand in the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ to prove, and so do I, and I know you feel the same way about me. May God help us to check the juices in our life for the hope of glory and the Lord's coming kingdom. We need to fight a good fight. We need to finish our course. We need to keep the faith. And the only way you can do that is anticipating the Lord's return. And He's coming with His reward. Father, I just pray that You'd bless these thoughts to Your honor and glory and our good and profit. We pray that the intensity of our hope of glory will be great. That we will not be moved away from it ever in this age, so that we can stand approved in Your presence. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen.